Parents would always make me babysit you. And I really hated it because I couldn't get girlfriends because I had to make sure you were okay. So anyway, we were there and everybody was like in a quandary about what we were going to do for the march because that's all we brought. And I raised my hand and said, I can do it. I can do it. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy, like, there's no way she can do it. And I did. And Mr. Davenport was just the most happy person. He was our band director. He was just the most happy person, and we did make Superior.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
And were you with was the first chair kind enough to be friends with you after that?
Everybody was my friend after that.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody
That's
loved
nice.
me. I was like, wow,
Because you
for a
saved.
while. I mean, it didn't last, but for a while I was like, yay, Patsy, yay. But and I did have to earn my stripes. But of course, I think I became first chair probably in the 8th grade.
Oh my
Yeah,
gosh. So
yes.
you weren't even a high schooler
No,
yet.
no.
Oh, that's
I
great.
became first chair, and I don't know if it was before the chicken or the egg. It was before the band contest or not, but I do know around the 8th grade I became first chair.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I have two broad areas I'd be interested in your talking about.
Okay.
One was when you went to work at Broyhill.
Yes.
I wonder if you would tell us about that, what it was like. There probably weren't a lot of African Americans at Broyhill. And was Broyhill here in Lenoir?
Yes. In fact, you will pass it going. That's on the left.
Where the
For
headquarters
the
have
head.
been, and
Yes.
now they changed, but
Now,
where they had been.
yes. That's where I worked. So, when I went to work at Broyhill, I was one of two African Americans then. I think later on Terry came, and I was in customer service. Kyra Mervin was in customer service too. Terry was in, Gilry is her name, was in. What was she was in another area. Completely forget right now, but she was in another department. But anyway, when I first went there, I can just tell you truthfully, it wasn't nearly as nice of an experience as Appalachian State
When you first were
when
there.
I first went. And so, as you all know, I have the gift of gab, so I talk my way through anything. But I think, you know what, you earn respect. And you know, anybody can go, but once you open your mouth, that first impression is probably the most important time. But what I do remember is Paul Broyhill had my back, and he wasn't going to let anything happen to us. And it was a trial and error at the time too, and I was the only black in my department.
And when did you start? What year did you start?
1973.
1973. Okay, that's great.
And I worked there for a long time. I think I worked there for like 18, 19 years. So anyway,
So you remember Paul Broyhill,
oh
who
yeah.
is, of course, a wonderful
Yes, he's just
supporter
a
of
wonderful.
Appalachian, and I
Yes.
know a wonderful person, yes.
Yes. He always has been very good in that aspect. He was always just the nicest person. What I do remember about Paul is that there were about 300 folk that worked at Broyhill at that time. And he knew each one of us name by name. He was just the nicest person. You know, I can just go into some negatives about my stay there. I think sometimes the blacks would have to sit at the same table and eat because a lot of the people were from Lenoir, and they were brought up in a different time. And so that's just the way it was, which I don't think we really felt badly. We just, even in 73, we thought that's just the way it was. So in the meantime, he would just come, you know, to our tables and you know, in front of everybody. And I think that was more or less his way of saying,
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What a good example for him
very
to
good.
Set.
Yeah. For, yes. Yeah. One thing I do remember about Paul, you know, he could have probably bought the company where he bought that coat. But he was such an humble person. You would never know that he was Paul Broyhill. Mm-hmm. He was so humble and kind. And he always wore that same chartreuse jacket to every Christmas party. The same one. He could have bought the company. And I always thought that was, I don't know why that sticks in my mind. But I think that's my way of saying how a nice a person that he was. He wasn't flamboyant. He was just a really, to this day, I'll see him at the dry cleaners or in the grocery store or somewhere, and he'll hug me and hug me and hug me. And I'll ask him, what happened to that jag? And what happened to, I mean, what did you do with that jag? And I finally found out who bought it. And it's actually somebody who's related to Mike.
Really?
Yes, that bought that. But anyway, and he always had these fancy cars. And his wife was so wonderful.
Oh,
yeah. Faye was just amazing. She was just amazing. James was so good. And they were all just a very, very kind-hearted family. I knew them probably closer than most because my Aunt Virginia was their maid.
That's, yeah. And when you say James, you mean
Senator Broyhill, yeah. So we all knew each other, we're not like all friends and stuff, but we knew each other. And so especially once I started working for Broyhill, that we all became, obviously, and I was like sort of ticked out by their family in a lot of occasions and things like that. Never knew why, but I, you know, they did and stuff. But for a year, maybe two, it was really kind of standoffish, and it really took about maybe 2 years for us to become a family.
That's well. Actually, 2 years isn't bad.
No, it's not. It's not. And I really tried. I was, you know, and my mom taught me and taught us. We were brought up to love everybody and not to judge anybody, and not to be part of a crowd, but to always make your own form your own opinions as to how they treat you. So. I was just me all the time. I never tried. I just brought me forward, and our entire family to this day is like that. We don't meet strangers. My mom, excuse me, and I keep saying my mom because my dad worked all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we are products of my mother's rearing.
That's great. And then I wonder if you would talk to us about the commemoration of integration. You did this a little bit before we turned the tape on, but I wonder if you would talk about it. What you expected. Now, you had been told you had to be there, right?
Yes.
And you were on the program.
Yes.
But you didn't know anything beyond that. LaTanya never told you, right?
No, she didn't. But I do remember my first meeting with LaTanya. First, I didn't meet her first. My husband was the first one to meet LaTanya. And this is one of the most amazing stories, which really lets me know that the Lord was surely in this. Because it took her the longest time to even find me. And when LaTanya found me and she had searched and searched and searched, about every means necessary to hear her tell it, that, and she still couldn't. So then she Googled my name, and up came my mother's obituary. And I remember LaTanya saying, oh, she's just right down the hill. I'm so glad that she didn't move to California. She's been there all the time. So when she first called our home, this is the most amazing thing. My husband never answers the phone ever unless it's his mom. Yes. Because he knows that if it's my family, they'll call me back or they'll leave a message or they'll call me on my cell phone. So anyone of importance can get me on my cell phone. But praise be to God, I have to give him honor. I was at church that night. It was a Wednesday night, and I was directing the children's choir. We were having choir rehearsal when LaTanya called. And Mike, we have this TV, we have Charter Communications, and the phone number or the name appears on the TV. So he was sitting there in his easy chair with his favorite instrument, clicking the channels, and about that time, Appalachian State University came on across the screen. And he says to this day, Pat, if LaTanya had called us on her cell, I would never have answered the phone.
Oh, that's interesting, huh?
But he said, because it was Appalachian State and I knew you attended there, I just got curious. And he picked up the phone. So that was the first miracle. And so then LaTanya and I finally got a date set for them to come down the mountain. She and her lovely husband came down the mountain and took us out to dinner. And so I remember LaTanya's first reaction. She doesn't remember what her face looked like. but when Mike came in, I'd already told her that he was white. So that whenever he came in, she would know that he was with me. But when we came in, I saw her she kept looking around. And when we finally got to the table, she said something about, I didn't know that was you. I guess because of my age, she just didn't know. In fact, after the...
you look so young.
Well, yes. But yeah. Even I'm going to fast forward a minute before I continue this. When I went up to get my award, Sonia? No, what is her name?
The organizer, Debbie, was it perhaps? Mm-hmm. Not Debbie.
Light skin, tall, black and white dress on stage.
Susan
Branch.
The trustee.
Yes. Susan Branch was on stage. And she even remarked later, after it was all over, she said, oh, she had to send her daughter. She didn't know it was me. She did. She said, oh, she had to send her daughter. She wasn't able to come. I thought that was funny.
That is fantastic. So Susan Branch, our trustee, thought you were your own daughter.
My daughter, yeah. So anyway, so when that was back to the story with LaTanya. But anyway, so when we walked in and sat down, there were all these gifts.
At dinner.
There was the most beautiful bouquet of flowers, which I kept in my main room until the leaves started falling off in my floor. I kept it, and when the water started smelling, I turned it up, fill it back up, and to this day I've got that, and I think I'm drying out some of the flowers. It was just beautiful. And then they also gave us these two Appalachian State leather-bound notebooks and a frame. Which I meant to bring it. And a frame. And it was with the Appalachian State logo on it. I mean, these were the most beautiful gifts. And so, when I got home, I said to my husband, if they're giving us all these gifts now, what in the world do they have planned? I mean, I cannot believe it. But I was just so overwhelmed, even at the dinner, that I couldn't even eat on my dinner. I was like, I took it home, I think I ate it the next day. But it was just such a wonderful first experience with LaTanya. And trust me, the right one came down. I don't know if everybody would have been the same, but they were the most gracious people to me. And if you think I can talk, you should hear my husband. And they were so patient listening to his stories and stuff.
I'm sure they loved
him. Oh, yes. And he was a Carolina grad in pharmacy. So he was, what was that you said, LaTanya, to him? It's better to be on the hill than in the...
Oh, I said something that Dr. Peacock said. Why go to the hill when you can go to the mountain?
Yes.
That's what Chancellor Peacock always said.
Exactly. He thought that was great. Exactly. He really did. I think he had heard it before.
Why stop at the hill when you can go to the mountain?
Go to the mountains, yes. So anyway, and so after that, LaTanya and I spoke on several occasions, and she never would tell me. And she would get to a point, and she would say, Well, I can't go on because I don't want to spill the beans. I don't want to spoil the surprise. And so even at that, I never, ever in my wildest dreams ever thought it was going to be what it was. So in the interim, I think that goes up automatically. So in the interim, we went up. And the first thing that when we got inside was that our family was bombarded with everyone once they found out who I was. It was like the vice chancellor,
Miss
Pettijohn. She was one of the first ones that came up.
Oh, that's great.
They were all just, Susan, they were all, I can't remember all the girl who was in the sling. I remember her mostly, one of her. But anyway, they were all just surrounding us. And so even my sister Connie said, and trust me, being a principal, she has been to some very important meetings. Mm-hmm. But her description of that day was, I really don't know what's going on, but we feel like the first family.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then Dean Peltel came to your table to get you.
Right? Yes, he did. So anyway, once they got us all, got me pinned and my corsage, and you know what? That may seem small to a lot of people, but once they pinned that flower on me, it was like the whole atmosphere in my life changed.
Oh.
Was something about that flower being pinned on me by Dr. Pettijohn that just changed the entire atmosphere. And so then I finally said, whoa. And then I started feeling some kind of way, especially when we were personally escorted to our
table.
Uh-huh. And once we got there, the dean of music, what was his name?
Dean Peltel.
Peltel. I never can pronounce that word. Dean Peltel came and got me. And he took me to this table that was sort of off from us, but they were sitting right beside the band. I later found out they were the
advisory board.
The advisory board.
Oh, that's great.
And so he took me over and introduced me to them.
Oh, that's great.
And so I remember him asking me to tell the story about the band at Catawba College in Salisbury. And I remember tears after I finished. And I didn't know why he wanted me to, but he did. He made it a point. And Dr. Pelto, actually, he just sort of shadowed us the rest of the day. He really did.
You couldn't have a better person
shadowing you. Oh, my goodness. And he was like there for everything.
Yeah.
And he just, he and his wife, and so
her name is Linda Larson.
Linda,
she's awesome.
She seemed to be just.
They're both awesome.
Yes, is she a part of APP?
Yes,
she is.
She teaches. She's an adjunct faculty member, and she's a voice and performance professor.
Well,
and you would be interested. One of the things she does is direct the community choir.
Really?
As part of her job at Appalachian.
Really?
And I don't know how many voices, but lots of people, and she just loves it.
So she directs the choir, and he's the dean of music.
Dean of the School of Music.
She directs one choir.
One choir. Let me say this. That is an awesome couple. They are. And when he introduced her to me, I felt like I'd known her all of my life.
Aww.
They were just so grand. But that happened that day. And then while we were sitting at the table, Sarah, my daughter, also knows who's over the money,
the foundation or the...
The foundation.
Miss Crandall, Laura Crandall?
No. The one who we just got the invitation to go to Charlotte. What is his name?
Dr.
He sat on the stage.
Oh, Planet? J.K. Reeves?
No.
Brad Adcock, trustee?
Flemings.
Dr. Fleming. There's a scholarship in his name.
Uh-huh. No, that's not who it was. It was the young guy sitting on the stage that hailed my
The only person I know was J.K. Reeves, Avery Hall. J.K. Reeves, Avery.
But it was one of the people who were on the stage. And your daughter Sarah knows
him. She knew him, and he's a judge in Charlotte.
Gary Henderson.
Great. Thank you.
We got it.
We got it.
Yeah, because I think he was involved in the scholarship program.
He started the Fleming Endowment. Right. Named for Dr. Fleming.
Dr. Fleming, yes. So.
And did he come up to your table?
Well, actually, he was sitting at a table, and I didn't know him.
Dr. Fleming?
Mm-hmm. Gary Henderson.
And so he's a good friend of my daughter Sarah's in Charlotte. And so they start doing some of the same circles. And so she said, Mom, I need to introduce you to someone. So she took me to his table and introduced me to him. So then I'm really starting to feel some kind of way. And I'm already sitting there watching the PowerPoint with every other picture is my picture. And then over on the wall is my picture along with a lot of others. But I still didn't have a clue. But all I know is, like my sister Connie, the way people were coming up to our table, and every now and then LaTanya would come and just sort of give us, you know,
check in,
yes. And these people just kept coming up. And I was like my sister, I felt very honored. I felt very special.
Great.
I don't know if the first family could ever feel like we felt that day. So then after dinner, which was a lovely dinner.
It was a lovely, wasn't
it? Was
it?
A
yeah.
lovely
yeah.
dinner.
I
and
was
whatever
so
that pumpkin stuff was in that bowl, it was like squash thing. That was wonderful.
That was soup. The pumpkin soup.
Pumpkin
right?
soup was
oh,
amazing.
Was great.
Oh, the food was just so good. So then we finally got to go in. We went into the ceremony. And so when LaTanya said, you all need to sit on the front row. And I said, okay. So then I looked in the program, of course, and the booklet, and there were these people whose pictures were in there, and they were honored, and so I got to sit beside of them. And I was like, wow, my husband sat there. And so then, as we were going through the ceremony, which was just the most, about besides being saved and having a family, it was the best ever time I have had in my 70 years. In my reflection, I cannot remember anything so auspicious as that day. So I'm sitting there, and so they had the PowerPoint presentation of all the Courage Award winners. And so I remember Dr. Hart,
yes.
Mr. Hart, sitting beside of me, and we were like sort of chatting and stuff. And I reached over and I said, are you going to have to speak? Because I knew I didn't have to speak. And she just said no or something like that. But then after it started, the PowerPoint told it all about them. And so I think because they found me at 2 weeks before, that they didn't have time to do a lot of stuff.
Two weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was that
mm-hmm.
close.
It was very close.
And it's a very spiritual experience. I mean, it is a spiritual experience because only God could have gotten that
done. I don't even use my office phone to call anyone. I always use this phone.
Yeah.
And I was in my office late at night. I'm never there that late. It was about 7 or 8 at night.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, something just told me to try. Keep trying. Just try one more time.
Isn't that wonderful?
Job said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time.
Yep.
Bless her.
Bless her is right.
Bless her. Bless
yeah.
her.
So you were in the front row.
I was sitting in the front
row. Mrs. Hart.
Yes.
By the other honorees.
Yes. And there were these four beautiful statues of sort for their part, the part that they played at Appalachian State. And they were, and my view, I could see those four statues, our glass gifts. And so they were beautiful. And so as each one was presented, they got one of the gifts. And there were only four gifts. And I was just sitting there pouting and pitiful because I said, they gave away all the gifts. Oh my goodness. Well, maybe they're just going to give me honorable mention. And that's what I thought because I saw my name on there. But what was really special about my name on there was, although the PowerPoints and the different Courage Award winners had special people to go up and present them, the Chancellor was going to present me or do the presentation for me. And I really didn't know how that worked and what was in the backdrop for that to happen, as far as I didn't know if they thought I wasn't going to be there and she would just speak for me or whatever. But we, in any case, my name, there was Patricia Ferguson Beam, Chancellor Everts. And so I was just waiting for her to get up and just say something, and you know, pertaining to me being the first African-American to ever live, walk on campus at Appalachian State University. So I had breathed really hard and I was ready, and my husband took my hand and he squeezed it after all the gifts were given. I think he knew I was feeling some kind of way, so I think that was his way of comforting me. And so then when Dr. Everts finished speaking about me, they asked me to come up on stage. And so I saw the young man take this picture, what I think I thought it was, a picture, and take it up and give it to Dr. Everts. And so when I saw it, I froze. I walked so far across the stage, I could not move. I could not. You can see the picture. I'm just standing there like, and then she started talking. And I still stood there. And so then I guess I had the presence of mind to wait till she finished talking to go over to the podium when she actually presented it. So all in all, I guess my freezing worked out good because I guess I was supposed to stand there and wait for her to finish. But I remember when I saw it, I just could not believe what was getting ready to happen. Now, I saw the degree from where I was, but I couldn't see the writing. Uh-huh. So I didn't even know what it said. I just saw the degree. And it was the biggest degree I have ever seen. It wasn't like, because even when I got home, my husband took his Carolina degree out, and he compared it to that one. He went, wait a minute, you know. So he could not believe that it was such a big degree, and it was wonderful. And then when she said the presentation was what Patricia Ferguson Bean came to this school for, to get her bachelor's degree in music, we are giving to her this day the honorary bachelor's degree with all rights and privileges of Appalachian State University. And I was done. And I will never be the same again, because in my wildest dreams, I will say this, that my sister Connie and Mike sort of discussed that, but they never told me. Afterwards, they told me that they thought that may have been. And then, not only that, but then they put around my neck the alumni medal.
Yes, that wonderful medal. Is that called the golden
black? The golden black, yes. And so I was just the most honored. The President of the United States of America could not have been more ecstatic than I was. I was the happiest person ever, I think, at that moment on this earth, because I had just been presented the honorary bachelor's degree from my alma mater, Appalachian State University. I cannot tell you what, even to this day, I still can't believe it. So people are calling me Rosa Bean. They are. That it came full circle what she started. You guys finished.
That's great. It's so wonderful.
What Rosa and Martin started in our lives as a family, Appalachian State finished it. And what a wonderful way to finish it.
That's so wonderful. That's fantastic.
Yes, it was. And I also got, I did receive afterwards, a painting from the artist,
Derek Claiborne.
Oh, that's great.
It is just beautiful. So when we left there, we came with a lot more than we went with. We came with, I've got this stuff that is going to be passed down to my family. And my grandchildren to this day, they are just so happy. Their parents got degrees. I mean, my children went to college. My grandchildren, Peyton's mom, like I said, went to UNCG. Antoinette went to Winston-Salem State. But finally, Mau-Mau got a degree.
What was their reaction?
They are just still so amazed. My grandchildren are just so amazed. And I just have to say it like this. I think I've upped my game in my grandchildren's eyesight. They just talk about me, and I think it's just a nonstop conversation. But my mama, and speaking of which, Zachariah School in Salisbury, North Carolina, mm-hmm. did it not come full circle? The band director has asked me to come and speak to their band, and he is a freshman in high school.
Oh, how wonderful.
And Peyton goes to a baccalaureate school in Charlotte, IB school.
Yeah.
And her band director, Mr. Fortis, has asked me to come and speak
their band. Oh, that's wonderful.
So far, that's where I am.
And then you were contacted by Appalachian State University.
Yes.
Regarding the MLK program that we have in January.
Oh. Yes, I can't remember her last name, but her first name is Bria. And Bria has already emailed me and asked me if I would, and the four Courage Award winners are going to be there too.
Oh, that's great.
But she has asked me to be the keynote speaker.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I'm so pleased. I would like to say on the tape, LaTanya and I were both there when you got your honorary degree. And of course, LaTanya knew what was going to happen, but I didn't. And the audience, you may have been the happiest, but the audience was a level of happy appreciation, astonishment. And I think that collective expression of awe from the audience really expressed how much you deserve to get that honorary degree. It was a wonderful moment in Appalachian history.
It was, and I think I felt that.
Yeah, I felt it.
Even the folk on stage, I could just feel that cocoon type experience where everybody was just, as you say, and describing it is kind of hard right now.
Right.
But I could feel the love.
That's right.
I could feel it. That's I could just feel the appreciation.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Appalachian State deserves a lot of praise at this point because they did not have to do this.
Thank you.
They did not have to, but they did. I don't know what they're doing on other college campuses now. My husband is an alumnus from Carolina. My daughter went to UNCG. Antoinette went to Winston-Salem State, and so did some of my sisters. And my classmates went to different colleges and Bennett and everything. I don't remember anything, even in the black colleges, commemorating their heritage. Are the white colleges commemorating or appreciating? But Appalachian State, as vintage Appalachian State is, they came through.
Yeah.
They came through. It may have taken LaTanya a long time to find me, but praise be to God that it all happened. And what you all don't realize is not only what it has done for me. Did LaTanya tell you that the next day?
Tell me. I don't think she did.
In church, that my minister did the entire ceremony in church.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And there was a newspaper article in the Sunday paper.
Oh, that's great. So all your friends and
the church family. Yes. And he read the article.
Oh.
And he presented me my degree again with the church, and he told his experience at that of that day of what he felt as my minister being a part of this day.
How special.
He thought that it was one of the best days for the Black community ever. Even now, when things are starting to be a little iffy, even now, that has set the tone for even us as Black people to show us a more excellent way. With what Appalachian State did, up the game in the Black community.
That's great.
In Lenoir, North Carolina, in Hickory, in California, where my first cousin Joy lives, in New York, I mean, it's gone global. And so, I don't know if you all have looked at YouTube yet, but I guess Appalachian State is on the map in the Black community as well. And in fact, have you spoken with Destiny? Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, she has planned to come into Appalachian State in the fall. She is at Caldwell Community College now, majoring
good.
In nuclear medicine.
Oh.
You met her. She was
at the restaurant.
At the restaurant.
I know her.
Oh. Yes.
The young lady, she came to talk with us.
That she said she did. She said she came.
Yes. She's coming to Appalachian?
She's coming to Appalachian State in the fall. Yeah, she's already
wonderful.
Made up her mind. She's coming. I kind of pushed her. You kind of pushed her. And so then I think when you spoke to her, that really, because I really don't know. I don't know if she was planning on transferring to Howard or not. Seems like she was, but she's coming to App in the fall.
I think I gave her my card.
You did.
If you need anything,
you did. She did. She did. So she saw me at church. We had a dinner about 2 Sundays ago, and she was downstairs because I was part of the cooking and stuff. And that's another thing I do. I'm part of the culinary industry, but don't put that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were cooking and stuff, and so I was going to her table and seeing if they needed anything or whatever. And did you need any of Miss Pat's banana pudding? Because they love my banana pudding
that's
and
great.
Stuff.
I bet everybody does.
And she was sitting there, and she said, Miss Pat, guess what? And I think she said she spoke, or she went up to some
an open house or something.
Something, yes. And she said, Miss Pat, I've decided to go to Appalachian State University. So, LaTanya, you did good.
God did good.
God did good.
Oh,
God did
great.
Good. Because I had no idea, although I'm an advocate for App, I am, and I try to. In fact, I don't know if you have the book here or not, but the first group that was integral in helping to do that program is my cousin-in-law, Andrea Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And she still lives where she used
to
live.
She's a part of the African American Alumni Network.
Well, yes.
She's on the board.
Well, she and her mom and I are best friends.
Okay.
Even when
great.
Her mom had an aneurysm, mm-hmm. Even though my first husband and I were divorced, the family always kept close contact. And I'm the one that takes her to get her checkups and stuff.
That's
Mark, Andrea's
mm-hmm.
mom
oh,
and stuff.
Great.
And Andrea is one of the best people. Ever.
Wow.
She is a very quiet spirit, but she is good people
wow.
too.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. And her brothers both graduated from App too.
Okay.
Yes,
I'll
they
need
did.
To spend some time with her.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, what an wonderful afternoon it's been. Mrs. Bean, thank you for being so thoughtful as to go through the questions and prepare some remarks for us that you could share with others through this oral history. And then thank you for all your conversation and telling us experiences that we would never have known otherwise. It's just been wonderful. So thank you so much. I really appreciated it. Is there anything else you'd like to say for the last thing on the tape?
Well, I feel honored to be interviewed.
Oh.
And to be going into the archives of Appalachian State University. It is just an honor and privilege. And when you first contacted me, when you all first contacted me, I think I was running around the house saying, I'm going to be interviewed, I'm going to be interviewed, they're going to put me in the archives. But I would like to say something, not digressing, but I would like to say this, that although I loved coming down on the weekends to help my mom with all the turmoil that was going on in under the hill, in Lenoir, North Carolina, I was always so glad when Sunday night came and I was able to go back to where I felt loved by white people.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to say.
Yeah, I always felt really appreciated.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I do thank you guys again for this interview, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Oh, and thank you so much. It's just been wonderful. I'm going to turn off the tape now. Cool.